B-Pod Studios.
And now, I'm just trying to spell it out for the listener.
Felger and Mav.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
T-E-P-I-D.
B-O-B. Boom.
Isn't that Bob?
Felger and Mav.
Q-U-I-T quick.
Okay, thank you. No, spell up for me too. I'm an idiot.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's Felger Mass presented by DraftKings here from our Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester. We have Greg Bedard of the Boston Sports Journal on location. We continue with your calls before we get to 10 questions coming up a little bit later in this hour. Andrew in Waltham, what do you got, Andrew?
Hey, guys. I was wondering where you guys think the Pats stack up in the AFC right now. Bleacher Report Power Rankings had them at 10 in the NFL behind the Steelers and the Bills in the AFC. I thought that was a little low, especially the Bills. I can see the Steelers. I just want to hear what you guys thought.
Okay, I have them ahead of the Bills. You tell me about the Steelers. Someone tell me about the Steelers.
I mean, I watched a little bit here and there of the Denver game on Sunday. It was mostly my eyes were on Tampa, but they're throwing it downfield again. Roethlisberger looks like he's back to Ben Roethlisberger. I'll tell you that much.
And their defense is good. To me, that's the big thing. Like, I don't know about Roethlisberger. I still have my doubts about him. But their defense, ever since they added, what's his name, from the Dolphins, Fitzpatrick?
Yeah.
Their defense has been terrific. I mean, where'd they go last year? 8-8 without a quarterback?
Hayward and Tate, J.J. Watt's kid, brother over
T.J.,
there.
Yeah.
T.J. Watt. Those guys are awesome up front.
I mean, their front seven's good.
So what I would, if Brady were still here, I would say no shot. I don't take him seriously because they can't figure out Brady. They just can't, right? I mean, how many times have we seen it? Maybe Newton brings you down to them a little bit. I still like you over Buffalo. I do. You know, that previous caller notwithstanding, Greg, I don't want to get you in his crosshairs again. Andrew in Dallas. Go ahead, Andrew.
Hey, guys. I was calling because I was wondering what you thought the role of the New England Patriots offensive line was and the improvement we've seen in Cam Newton. Teddy Bridgewater got sacked 5 times behind that tissue paper offensive line in Carolina. So I was wondering about that. And two, is Joe Tooney a bad use of the franchise tag? It's officially a cold take. Thanks.
Yes.
It's a horrible use of the franchise tag.
How much for a guard?
$14.5 million.
Okay, it's Hog Hannah. Ridiculous.
Especially when you're paying the other one almost 10.
Yeah, franchise your guard? No, hate it. But, Dart, how's the offensive line been?
It's been pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, overall, yeah. I mean, it's the pass protection's been really good. And, you know, some issues in the running game, but nothing that can't be straightened out. I think they've looked really good.
We've got John in Haverhill. He's up next with Felger, Maz, and Greg Bedard. Hi, John.
Hey, how you doing? My question, I don't know, you might have covered it already. My question is, why didn't Cam just sprint to the pylon instead of run up into the meat of the defense? If he had sprinted to the pylon and could have hit somebody or laid out 2 yards,
sure.
That seems to be a better plan to me. I'll talk to you later.
Yeah, so he mentioned that too. He could have bounced it out. I don't blame him, though, because that's bang, bang, split second. Like, I blame the coaches more than I do him. My big thing, Greg, was not running him. Like, I think him running there is the best play design. I just hated the it was just, what, 2 minutes before that they had a, you know, goal to go at the one, and they ran the exact same play out of the exact same formation with the exact same motion and the exact same pre-snap movement. Who knows? Maybe it was the exact same snap count for all I know. And it's just like, I don't think that's them. I always view them as being a step ahead, trying to figure out what the defense is going to do and then making the adjustment off of that versus we're just going to keep doing this until you stop us. You know what I mean? So I didn't like the formation more than anything.
I see where you're coming from, Mike, and I don't necessarily disagree with it. I think it's unfair with this offseason and with an entirely new quarterback to judge them along the same ways as you would teams in the past. I mean, I think they have less bullets in their chamber right now, you know, offensively in terms of what they know that they're good at. And so, you know, and plus, like I said before, it's 1 yard. You average 296 pounds per guy in that unit against 5 defensive linemen. You should be able to gain 1 yard.
How come you're only counting the defensive linemen? How come you're not counting the other 6 guys on the defense?
Why are we weighing people?
Yeah,
because they're like 230 pounds.
Greg, what was option B on that play?
Option B?
Yeah, the second option. Yeah. What was the other option on that play?
There wasn't another.
Exactly. Option. There wasn't one.
What?
This is the problem with it. There was only everyone knew what was coming. Everyone knew what was coming. This is why the weight on the line to me didn't matter. Is that they all knew what was coming, and I'm not yelling at you. I'm just annoyed by the play.
No, go ahead, yell them.
Tony, if if on when you blocks Collier, it's a touchdown. Period. End of story. He messed up. He messed up the block. It doesn't matter. The kid messed up. It's not that the Seahawks made a great play.
Oh, they did,
though. A rookie messed up in his second game. That's it.
Collier made an adjustment, and you wrote about it. He did something differently than he did the time before because they knew it was coming.
What? Well, they're not robots. You don't expect them to do the same thing every time.
Oh, well, you did. I don't know. You must have because you ran the exact same play with the exact same personnel with the exact same pre-snap motion. So you must have expected them to do the exact same thing because you did the exact same thing. It's just so unlike you. That's not what they do. I mean, it's what you want. You want 11, 22 really fat guys out there just sort of mushing into each other. And then you want to pull out your clipboard and, you know, sort of assess it. Like, that's what you want. But that's, no, like, I don't, just because, just because they were heavier? What the hell does that mean? They had more weight? What is this like we're going to put them on a scale and whoever weighs more is going to win? That's not the way it works.
It's a sumo match. Push them back. It's over. And it worked. They had run that, including the first game, five times, I think, previously. And it worked every single time. And in the second game, with limited practice, with a new quarterback, I'm going with what I have the most confidence in. And that's that play, the play that we've repped the most times with my best player with the ball in his hand. I'm not throwing it to anybody else. I'm not letting Jamal Adams run through. I'm not letting Bobby Wagner run through. I am going with the play that I think has the highest percentage chance to work.
Okay, congrats.
And it just didn't work because a rookie messed up.
And then you lose. That's fine.
Big whoopee-doo.
You can do that. Oh, we weigh more. We should win. We're heavier.
You know what I think? I think LJ Collier made a plus play on that. That's what I think.
Adam in Michigan.
He did, and on when you made a minus play.
Go ahead, Adam. What do you got?
Hey, guys. Love the show. Hey, if Sony Michel plays bad again next week, what are the chances that he just gets cut when they bring back Damian Harris in week four?
You know, I mean, is there any reason to cut him at this point? Is he making any money? I mean, it's still his rookie contract, right? Like, I don't know. I'm not cutting the guy at this point. I thought
he's not going anywhere. I mean, look, you're going to need depth. People get hurt at running back. They didn't have any injuries last year. It was the first time, like, ever. The year before, they were down so many running backs that Cordarrelle Patterson had to play running back in a game. I mean, it's just you need depth. He's not going anywhere. He's fine. It's up to what's blocked. And you know, the Seahawks were just a little bit faster in this game.
So, Greg, you know what I find astonishing about Michel in all seriousness? He hasn't gotten any better. Like, you know, this is year three now. And you'd like to think that, okay, maybe in the first year he didn't understand the passing offense, but he was part of the passing game at Georgia. So year two, he picks it up. We didn't really see a dramatic improvement there. And it looks like they have no intention of throwing him again. He was on the field for 15 snaps. They handed it off to him 10 times. So when he's on the field again, as was the case in year one, you're telegraphing everything when he's on the field. Are you at all stunned that he hasn't gotten any better?
A little bit, and just from the perspective is that I think Ivan Fears is a tremendous coach. I really do. He's one of, every year when I evaluate this team, he gets the most out of his unit every single year. And I just think that, with Sony Michel, what I see, and especially you guys haven't seen it because you haven't seen him in practice or in games, but Damian Harris, when you watch Damian Harris in practice, this is a kid who, he carries the ball confidently. He just makes a move and goes. He has this air about him. He has this looseness about him. When you watch Sony Michel in practice, sometimes, I think it's 2 years in a row now, we've seen Sony Michel come out and we're like, oh, he looks faster. He looks like he has more explosiveness. And then all of a sudden gets to the season and it's the same kid. And to me, he's thinking too much. He puts too much pressure. And sometimes in coaching, you just don't know the right words or whatever to say to a player to really get them to the next level. And I think they need Damian Harris to come in and hopefully he does what he does on the practice field, which is a loose playmaker, where Sony Michel just, he looks tight as hell to me every time he carries the ball. He's trying to make a mistake, not to make a mistake. He's trying to think through every play, and you just can't play in the NFL like that.
All right, let's do 10 questions next. We'll break early to give Greg all the time he needs to consult his notes.
And, to him and Hoff.
Yeah, think about all the good questions that are coming his way that he got at 9:30 this morning. 10 questions coming right up.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
You want the answer? You've got to ask the question.
Do you have an opinion based on if you had to go with your gut, which way it would go?
Sometimes you have to ask it over and over and over again.
Why?
This is 10 Questions with Greg Bedard and Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, big boy, I sent you these at like 10 a.m. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, we give you an extra 90 seconds here to get this all in, so I don't hear much lip-smacking and sighing and hemming and hawing back there. What are our buzzer options, Jimmy?
Yeah, well.
I don't know what the hell that was.
Yeah.
It's Belichick saying, yeah, well.
You know, our guys, we said a prayer after the game, and, you know, we'll take that one with us forever.
Pete, thank you.
It's you know, it's right up there with the birth of my kids and you know, a thrill of a lifetime. you know, we've been able to maintain consistency what we believe. No, the only thing that's bugged me from Newton in the first 2 weeks is the pick six.
I mean, that was really telegraphed.
Bam Adebayo from the baseline. Bam Adebayo from midcourt. Bam Adebayo from 3-point line. Bam Adebayo from the free throw line.
I still know what that was.
The Bam Adebayo? Remember, you were talking about Bam Adebayo last week.
Remember? Celtics still playing? Still going on?
Tomorrow, yeah, they're taking a little break.
Next, go. Bam Adebayo block. Like, I got it already. Okay, I got it. Got it. Saw it. Got it. Mm-hmm. All of it. Saw it all. I see. They played it quite a few times. I got it. Go ahead. My tongue doesn't move that way, the way Maz's does. Okay. Hard to beat that one, but just hit anyone. Go. My tongue doesn't move that way, the way Maz's does. Greg, of all the teams who passed on Cam Newton, who should be regretting it the most?
Denver. Because, number one, because Fangio is a defensive coach, and Cam would work perfectly with that. Drew Lock stinks, and I can't believe they actually believed in him. And, forget it. Because they have just Jeff Driskel, and he makes more money than Cam Newton. So I guess he must be better, so they're all set.
So the easy one's the Chargers, right? New stadium now, you know, like, I'm going Indy. Phillip Rivers is cooked. Again, Cam Newton clearly has something left. If Indy had Cam Newton with their talent and their coach, you know, not that much different than here this year. They'd make some noise if they had Newton.
I'm going with the Bears. They had to trade for that ridiculous Nick Foles contract, and he loses the gig to Trubisky, who's a mirage these first couple of weeks. They should have signed Cam Newton.
Yeah, I was still thinking Bears. You know, that's a team truly a quarterback short. Next.
You know, our guys, we said a prayer after the game, and, you know, we'll take that one with us forever.
Number 9, Falcons coach Dan Quinn said his players knew the onside kick rules when they let that Cowboys onside kick dribble 10 yards. Do you believe him?
Yes, I just think they completely froze at the helicopter kick or whatever they did. They just didn't know what to do. They didn't know whether to jump on it, and then it squirted out. I don't know.
Didn't they call it the watermelon kick? Is that what they called it?
Wasn't that unbelievable?
Unbelievable is right. I think that's what it was. They called it a watermelon kick. And I would say that, did they know the rule? No. It was like they were playing spin the bottle, for crying out loud. They're waiting for the thing to stop, the jackasses. Jump on it and be done with it.
So, Falcons.
Yeah, no, he's clueless. They're clueless. It starts at the top and stupidity trickles down. It's amazing to me that guy still has that job.
Next.
It's, you know, it's right up there with the birth of my kids and, you know, a thrill of a lifetime.
Number 8, Rob Gronkowski, 2 catches, 4 targets this year. Bruce Arians says that's by design. He says targets, that's what we have receivers for. Do you believe him?
No, because if Rob Gronkowski was open, Tom Brady would throw to him, and Rob Gronkowski doesn't get open. He didn't get open when he was here. Tom knew it in practice. It's just, he's done.
He is done. He and Phillip Rivers should be sitting on a beach doing Corona commercials. The two of them. Seriously, I think they're both cashed.
Yeah, no. And I think Brady knows that he's done too, thus the lack of targets. He's a lumbering oaf now.
Next.
You know, we've been able to maintain consistency what we believe.
Number 7. Bills quarterback Josh Allen leads the NFL with 729 passing yards and 6 touchdowns against no interceptions, Murray. Ryan Tannehill has a 127 quarterback rating in Tennessee, and Mitch Trubisky is 2-0. Greg, who's most likely to keep it going? Who's most likely to fall back to earth?
Tannehill's most likely to keep it going. He's just, I think he has a better supporting cast around him. I like their offensive line better. If the Bills beat the Jets and the Dolphins, who gives a crap?
I like Allen. I think Allen's got the best chance of keeping it going based on the weapons around him now. He's got Stephon Diggs. He looks like he's improving. I still think there's growth there is the point. Whereas I think Tannehill reached his ceiling last year, and I'm not sure he'll ever hit it again.
How about the program? How about what he's surrounded by?
Yes, absolutely. Again, Stephon Diggs is making a difference there, too.
No. I'm talking about Ryan Tannehill.
He has a chance
for success because he's surrounded by
a good coach
that has a clue and all of that.
But you know what? Buffalo's got a good coach. I think Buffalo's got talent and a good coach. The one who's coming back to earth is Trubisky.
I was going to say, no one's buying on Trubisky.
That's a slam dunk.
Yeah, the most likely to keep it going is Tannehill for all those reasons. The coach, the wide receivers he has, the line is good. The least is Trubisky. The Bears are 2-0 because they played Detroit and the Giants. He's a mirage.
Next.
Well, the only thing that's bugged me from Newton in the first 2 weeks is the pick six.
That was really telegraphed. Whoops.
That was a minus play for Greg, too. And number six. Who should be more worried right now, Drew Brees and the Saints or Carson Wentz and the Eagles, Greg?
Wentz, because he has really nothing around him. I mean, some of the struggles are his issue, no question. But some of it has to do with, you know, the Eagles have just drafted poorly lately. Peterson, you know, hasn't been much without Frank Reich. He's just, there's not much around Wentz right now, where Brees has plenty around him once Michael Thomas is back healthy.
Eagles. The Saints have more at stake, I think. But the Eagles, that thing's coming apart. Wentz is getting worse. Ever since Reich left, that thing's going downhill fast. They got to watch out there.
Yeah, Wentz and the Eagles. I found that stat, Mike, I mentioned to you yesterday. He has made 20 off-target throws this season. Most in the NFL, 15 have come inside a clean pocket, which means he hasn't been pressured or under duress. He's gone sideways.
Huh, next. Bam out of bio block. Like, I got it already. Okay, got it. Got it, got it, got it. Got it, got it. Saw it, got it. Mm-hmm. All of it. Saw it all. Number five, tool bag time. Biggest tool bag raider of all time. This is a big question going a million, because a lot of candidates. Who's the biggest tool bag raider of all time, Greg?
I'm going to skip over AB, and I'm going to go Vontaze Burfict, who seemed to get suspended every other game when he was with the Raiders, and I don't think he's back in the league yet. He was just a dirty, dirty player.
Boy,
I like those guys.
I forgot that he went there.
Me too. Perfect. I even forgot AB was there.
Perfect Raider. Go.
Oh, totally. I turned back the clock a little bit on this one. I went Matt Millen. Matt Millen, you tool. You sucked as a player. You sucked as a GM. You sucked as an announcer. All three of them. You know what my lasting memory is? He hit the GM of the Patriots, Patrick Sullivan, way back when. Hit him in the head with a helmet. He whacked him with his helmet, you tool. What are you picking on some nerd for?
That was fun. This is more for fans of a certain age, but Jack Tatum for what he did to Daryl Stingley. When he died a decade ago, my dad texted me good riddance.
Jack Tatum paralyzed him, never apologized, never went to see him in the hospital, then wrote a book, said that's why they call me the assassin.
Yeah.
Dirtbag.
Oof.
Dirtbag, low-grade garbage organization. Honestly, the three titles and the commitment to excellence and that thing gave him a sort of shine. At the heart of it, low-grade garbage team. Garbage. And I put Bill Romanowski on that list. He's an honorable mention. He was only there at the very end of his career.
Yeah.
But another perfect Raider. Garbage team. Next. My tongue doesn't move that way, the way Maz's does. Number four. If that Dallas onside kick was not the most embarrassing play of the weekend, what was? I have a couple candidates if you have a hard time figuring out. Go ahead, Greg.
I went with the Drew Brees pick last night over the middle to really nobody in particular. He looks toast.
Third and 31 in the Niners-Jets game.
Okay, so if you don't know what Maz is talking about, the Niners had a third and 31, handed the ball off, and the Jets gave it up.
And I think they were on, like, their own 10-yard line.
Gave up a 55-yard run on third and 31.
They would have had the ball at, like, midfield. Instead, it was first down San Francisco with the Jets 40. It was unbelievable to give that up.
That's the answer. It's proof your team has given up. And that the Jets are really a special kind of trash. That's unbelievable.
I put on my list, Wentz threw an interception in Philly, and the guy there with the virtual fan button booed him. There were no fans in the stands in Philly, and they still booed his ass. I think that's on the list. Next, Jimmy.
Bam Adebayo block.
Like, I got it already. Okay, got it. Got it, got it, got it, got it, got it. Saw it, got it. Mm-hmm. So all of it. Saw it all. How many different angles in it? How many times do you have to watch that thing? Number three, on the Jets, if you own them, who would you hire as the next coach of the New York Jets?
My answer is always Nick Saban. It's always Nick Saban.
Jim Harbaugh.
My answer. Oh, yes, there is. Why do I bother asking this? You always say
seriously,
that.
Seriously, every year we have the same answer.
But they do. They need a coach with some credibility. And I know that, you know, a lot of people think Harbaugh sucked, but he turned the Niners around. I don't know how long it would last, but Harbaugh can coach. He can coach, and he brings a mentality to an organization. Same with Saban. I mean, somebody with some credibility, please. Like, that's a joke what the Jets are. Really, that's a freaking joke.
And I feel like my answer is always the same. Offensive coordinator of the Chiefs, Eric Bieniemy. And you hope that some of that QB whisperer of Andy Reid rubs off and you can save Sam Darnold.
Okay, next.
You know, our guys, we got we said a prayer after the game. And, you know, we'll take that one with us forever.
Number two, officials have thrown the fewest flags through 2 weeks since the NFL went to 32 teams like in 02. I heard that this morning. That might be off by a little bit, but flags are way, 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 way down. Is that just a special one-off thing because of COVID, or do you think that's the direction of the league, Greg?
I think it's a one-off thing. I think the officials needed preseason probably more than anybody, and they just, instead of over-officiating, they've just kind of shrinked away from that. And I think it's a one-off thing. And in fact, it might pick up during the season. I mean, it seems like it from this past week, all of a sudden they started calling a ton of holding calls. So we'll see.
Yeah, see, I think it came from ownership on down in that viewership's going to be hard. It's going to be tough to get all the eyeballs back on the TV that, as normal. So let's, you know,
ease up on the flags.
Let's not muck up the product here in the first couple months with some point of emphasis where there's flags coming out every other play. Let's just let them play because we're going to be challenged enough as it is.
I can't believe that has anything to do with the direction of the league. I think it's a one-off thing.
COVID one-off, and Greg's already right. If you watched last night that Raiders-Saints Monday night game, the third quarter was all mucked up with flags.
Was
and holding.
It?
Oh, it's like, oh, enough. They're getting back to how they used to be.
Okay, last one.
It's, you know, it's right up there with the birth of my kids and, you know, a thrill of a lifetime.
With the Vegas building now open, along with L.A. and others, you know, like just recently, Atlanta, Minnesota, New York, if you want to go back even a few, you know, years ago, where should the league's next big stadium project come?
It should be for Buffalo, but, and this is for this that loser Bills fan who called in before, move them to Toronto.
Okay, so they should build a big stadium in Toronto for the Bills.
Yep.
Okay. Mouse?
So I have like four of them listed here, but I'm going to go Washington. I think, you know, that's a...
They need a whole facelift, a whole thing.
Yeah, yeah. I would say Washington. I just think that they could use a serious transformation there. The problem is obviously the owner. It's not the stadium, but they're one of the three or four I have written down.
Here, we're 2 years away from it being 20 years old.
Thank you.
So build a state-of-the-art facility somewhere in the city. Knock down Fenway for spite if you have to, but we need a new stadium for the Pats.
So it's not going to happen here. They just keep adding down there that footprint. So it's not going to happen. But
I wish, though.
Oh, man. How much better? If they had figured the thing out in the Seaport, and now, you know, I didn't want it, was it the Megaplex, right? I didn't want it to be an indoor dome stadium. But if they had a big outdoor open-air stadium at the Seaport now, which is the, you know, oh, my God, how much better would that be?
Be cool.
Oh, my God. I mean, they've done as much as they could down there. It's not really a knock on how they've developed that parcel down there. It just blows. It's freaking Foxborough. It's one road in, it's one road out. It sucks. It just sucks. It's just too bad they couldn't figure it out there in the Seaport. It would have gone perfectly. And I love that concert venue down there. You know, Harbor Lights, whatever they call it now. It's a great, great place. Great place to see music. I mean, blown that up and build me a football stadium there. that would have worked. You know what I mean? And they could add a little side stage and still had concerts down there. Anyway, there's 10 questions. Your phone's on whatever you want. 617-779-0985. Bill Belichick addressed his kicker situation. Very interesting answer from Bill here. A very in-depth, interesting answer from Bill. We'll get to it after Big Jim Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sometimes because you agree.
I agree with Matt.
And sometimes because deep down you like the pain.
pulling each other's shirts off and licking each other's faces.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Hey, Coach. Last week, Nick Folk was promoted to the 53-man roster, and I was just wondering how you would assess the team's current situation at kicker.
Nick's our kicker.
All right, we'll end on that.
Yeah.
Before we go back to the phones, Greg, 617-779-0985. Couple open lines if you want to grab them. Thoughts on the kicker situation in New England? Those are Bill's thoughts.
That was along the lines of the answer I got after the game the other
night. Oh, yeah, he dumped all over you, big fella.
Well, I don't even remember what question I asked him, but it was something I was trying
Stand
to
by,
get
I'll
him.
Grab the sound.
It was a follow-up on the clock.
Stand by.
Yeah, it was a follow-up on the clock.
No. It was on the final play. I was trying to get him to say, basically back the play call. That's what I was trying to do.
It didn't quite work. But anyway, with the kicking situation.
I mean, I don't know. He's the kicker. He missed a 51-yarder in this game. And they never should have kicked that ball, I didn't think. Everybody knew he was going to miss it. Everybody's missing 50-yarders around the league except Butker in Kansas City. This is where they are after they whiffed on a fifth-round kicker. I mean, I don't know.
I mean, that's why I go back to the pick. Like, I'm sorry, for a team that has the needs that they have, and I know it's a fifth, but 2 years ago, everybody wanted to shove Jawan Bentley down my throat. He was a fifth-round pick. Look what they got. Then they take a kicker, and everybody's okay with it, and the kid can't make the team. So they have all these personnel issues all over the place because they've drafted poorly, and they use a fifth-rounder on a kicker who, and this is really the important part, would have been available as an undrafted free agent anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the thing, right? So now, look, I mean, I just, for them to be where they are in the kicking game right now, to me, is a joke.
And it's Mass is right. It goes back to that draft pick, and one of the areas they're thin, wide receiver. Seven wide receivers went after that pick, Rohrwasser, and they all made their respective teams.
That, to me, is an unbelievable stat. So there's that. That is what it is right now. Let's go back to the phones. Dan and Bill Ricka, what do you got, Dan?
Hey, guys, I just had a quick question. As far as the players throughout the NFL that have opted out, based on, how well, thank God, the league has done when it comes to COVID, are they able to opt back in, or is that a no-no?
So, Greg, what's the answer on that?
No. It would have to be, as far as I remember, it would have to be really extenuating circumstances on a player petitioning to opt back in. But no, that was part of the deal. When you're out, you're out. You can't just, say I'm out and then, I'm back. Oh, the team wants to pay me more or is doing really well. I want to get back in.
Well,
you can't do that.
I mean, I think it is. So personally, I don't think it's applicable here because I don't think this is the reason those guys opted out. But a lot of people do, which is all a way to set up to say, did Dante Hightower or Pat Chung or these guys look at this team this year and say, they're in a holding pattern. This is a bridge year. They're not spending any money. Brady's gone. They're transitioning at quarterback. They're not going to be any good. So I'm just going to sit this year out. And does a player like Dante Hightower watch the game Sunday night and go, oh, actually, they have a quarterback. They're going to be pretty good. They could use me. This could be a fun year. I want back in. And that's what I think fans are looking at, which I understand. But I don't think that's why Dante Hightower bagged out in the first place. I'm still stunned those guys bagged. I mean, very, very rare for an NFL player to leave money on the table. When you just look at the history, I mean, my God, they haven't lost they haven't sat out a game for labor reasons since we were kids, since the 80s. I mean, since forever.
Chung got an extension.
Right? And so it's like, no, those guys in that sport, when there's money on the table, you better take it because it probably is not going to come back to you down the road. This ain't based.
Yeah, but those guys have maybe not Chung. Well, no, Chung too. But those guys have gotten paid and they have rings.
I know.
I mean,
see, to me, the ring, I'm surprised if the ring meant anything, honestly.
I bet it did.
For Hightower, it's $10 million. That's $10 million. I mean, that is real money.
I wonder if they went to him and asked him to take a pay cut.
So that's what I really think happened. I think it was part of their COVID budget and there was, that those guys, as opposed to getting cut or restructured, are better off taking the 1 year stipend and coming back next year and seeing what's up.
Like, right.
Well, a lot of guys thought that they weren't going to make it anyways. Part of their calculation was, well, the season's never going to finish. So why am I, why am I coming back and risking injury and all this stuff for a season that's going to last a month? So, you know, they didn't view that well.
And Marcus Cannon was high risk, right? Like, I look at him differently. And the other thing is he got a higher stipend for that, too. He got like $350.
He also thought about retiring.
Well, yeah, I think right. From what I understand, his house is up for sale.
Yeah.
So I think Cannon's done. I think he's out.
He was talking about it even before.
Yeah, that's right.
But so did Chung.
One of the guys that opted out was LaCosta, tight end, right?
Correct.
Could you use him right now? MJ and Braintree, your thoughts.
Hey, guys, this one's for the big boy. We know we're not getting anything out of these tight ends. Could you see us going after a guy like Zach Ertz? I mean, the Eagles are an absolute dumpster fire. Seems like they don't want to re-sign him. They want to go with Goddard. And we know the success Cam had with Greg Olsen in the past.
Yes, I think it's very possible. I'm trying to look at his contract to see what's left on it right now, but yeah, I think the Patriots, if this continues the way it's going, and you know it's looking very positive, and this is not going to be below 500 season or anything like that. So I think the Patriots will be buyers. I just don't know by the time we get to the trade deadline, which I think is about October 24th. I'm not exactly sure on that. It's somewhere in that range. What are the Patriots going to need at that point? Are they going to have injuries? Like, you know, we haven't heard about Derek Rivers, even though I don't think he's really going to factor into anything, but his injury the other night did not look good. And, you know, who knows? What if one of the receivers goes down? What if one of the safeties goes down? I don't know. The Patriots could need something different in 4 weeks than they need right now.
I just hope they approach it differently than it felt like they were approaching it going into the year, which is transition year, bridge year, clean up the books. Well, you know, there's a COVID situation too, so they're losing revenue. So let's not lose a lot of money in a year that isn't a championship year anyway. And so let's just reset the whole thing and save some money in the meantime. And that feels to me like how they've managed this year. Well, now after last night, you look at it and you go, well, they could be onto something. And maybe it's not a lost year. And you still have a year of Belichick's prime, if you will. I know that sounds kind of corny, but you know, you look like this. You look like the Patriots the other night, and so I would like to think that they would invest in this team a little bit more than they have.
I mean, I don't know how you don't feel good about it after the other night, and so I don't know that I would go get a tight end. And I love Ertz. Ertz is a good player, but their needs on defense in the front seven are so massive. I don't know. Put it this way: if you add a tight end but you don't address the defense, it's not going to work. Because your defense has got to be better if you're going to win. How many times have we lived that here? If they're giving up 150 rush yards a week, forget it.
Brandon in the car has a thought on the play that Greg thought they should have won the game on. Brandon, go ahead.
Yeah, so I just was confused because the ball seemed to have hit him in the hands. I know Cam could have made a better throw, but that shouldn't have been caught by Edelman.
Okay, no. Yeah, so Greg said this before that Newton missed Edelman on that third to last play of the game, the little skinny post that was there. So you put that more on Newton than Edelman. Why?
Yeah, because it was wide open to the middle field. It's not quite as bad, but it's similar lines to the Welker pass in the Super Bowl. I mean,
that was on Welker.
Slot, huh?
That was on Welker.
No, I thought it was half on Brady. Oh. Brady could have thrown it front shoulder. He would have had it all day long.
Last night was a much harder catch than the Welker catch. I thought the Sunday night Edelman, I thought was a harder catch than the Welker catch was a can of corn. He's got to make that catch. Are you kidding me?
No, he's going. Look, I'm not debating that again. I've been the same way since moments after the game, and I continue to be there.
You've been wrong the whole time.
Brady could have made a better throw.
Well, of course he could have made a better throw. You got to make that catch.
No,
I have to make that. But back to Sunday night. You put that on Newton.
Yeah, the inside was open. He throws it lower. It's a touchdown. Edelman is not a fingertip receiver. He's not going to make a fingertip grab. Hit him in the chest.
I mean, it was a hard catch, I thought. I'm not saying Edelman, you know, couldn't have caught it. The ball was whistled, too. It was freaking, that ball was gunned. And from a short distance, right? So little time to react to it. I mean, if the ball was there, it's a touchdown. I thought, you know, they were asking for Edelman to make a play there, but it was a worse throw than it was a catch.
Final thoughts and your calls in our long commercial-free segment. Next, final thoughts with the big boy.
Tucker has sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Doing what they do best.
Now talk about soap opera.
Welker and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Kamara brought down at 28. The Raiders are victorious in their first ever game at Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas. Welcome to your new home, Coach. What a great performance.
Yeah, Brent Musburger, voice of the Raiders, also kind of perfect. So they win last night. They go 2-0. Your thoughts on this week, Greg?
Defensively, it's going to be a tough one.
Defensively for the Patriots, it's going to be a tough one.
Yes, defensively for the Patriots, it's going to be a tough one. Gruden is tremendous at game planning. If they're healthy, if Incognito's back, if Trent Brown's back, they have one of the best offensive lines in the league. Hudson, the center, is one of the best in the league. Josh Jacobs is awesome. Waller, the tight end, is great. They're still a little bit weak at receiver. That was an issue for them last year. They had nothing on the outside. They do have some young kids like Ruggs, the rookie first-rounder from Alabama who flies. That's a work in progress in the passing game. But if the Patriots get shoved around in the running game, it's going to be very tough for them. I do think the Raiders' defense, I think it's predictable. Paul Gunther, the coordinator, runs that old Bengals scheme. They're not that good. The Patriots should be able to pass on them. They run a lot of zone. They don't have great personnel. Max Crosby, though, on the defensive line is tremendous. He's like J.J. Watt Jr., really good player. Outside of that, they don't have a ton of talent on defense, but it's young. They've added to it in this offseason.
So to me, I look at the spot for them, and I see cross-country flight, 1 o'clock Sunday, short week. They played Monday night, and I don't think there's a shot. I mean, if the Patriots lose this one, I'd be stunned and pissed off. Like, after what you've shown now in the first couple of weeks and what you are, and you've got that team. Now, you had to go back cross-country too, but you're going cross-country back home. They're flying cross-country, having played Monday night. You know the history of the West Coast teams at the 1 o'clock slot on the East Coast.
Yeah, you're right to bring that up, but I do think it's going to be more competitive than people may think. You just see Raiders stink, and you're like, bah, Pats will kill them. Like, I don't think so. They're all right.
I mean, the thing that worries me is that matchup-wise, this doesn't play to the Patriots' alleged strength. That there's no, you know, the receivers are not the strength of the Raiders. The Patriots' strength is at corner. And so, I still believe in Gilmore's ability. So do you put him on Waller, or do you let Juwan Johnson do that? You know, waste Gilmore on a wide receiver in this game or not? And their ability to run the ball. So, like, I look at it and say the Patriots are going to have to commit to stop the run here, I think. So that's the only part of the game that concerns me, Greg.
Yeah, if they need to get something out of the rookie linebackers in this game. Hopefully Uche, who suddenly had a foot issue last week after being a healthy scratch week one, suddenly had a foot thing last week, and that ruled him out for the game. Hopefully he suddenly gets healthy. But this is a game where they're going to need to be a little bit more traditional as far as their front and their linebackers. I don't think if they put a lot of safeties on the field against this offensive line, they're going to get shoved around. And Josh Jacobs, I don't know how much people have seen of him. He is a special back. He is a tremendous all-around back. Richards, their third down back, is also really good. They got two rookies, Ruggs and Edwards, at wide receiver. Zay Jones isn't that great. The tight ends are good. But outside of that, it's really you got to get into a street fight with these guys up front. And if they push you around like the Seahawks did, it's going to be another long night for this defense.
Greg, can I ask you a question about the end of the Seahawks game that I meant to ask you today and we never got to? And that is that at the end of that game, did the Patriots, it felt like in the last couple of Seattle possessions that the Patriots had a little more success. Now, the Seahawks played into that, obviously, with the 3rd-and-1 pass and whatnot. But even prior to that, did they blitz more? Did they bring any more pressure than they did early in the game? Did you notice any of that?
Not really. It was about the same as my blitz numbers for the second half were about the same as the first half. Sure, they got a little bit more desperate and did a few more things, but I nothing out of the ordinary.
Don't lose this game. Huge step back after what you've shown the first 2 weeks. You're still the Patriots. We got a football season. They have a quarterback. Come on. You're not going to drop one to the Raiders traveling cross country on a short week? Sunday, 1 o'clock? No, please, don't tell me that. Greg, thanks for coming in. Real quick, if you're watching the simulcast, can you get a picture of Maz's plushie? So we've had the big boy plushie there. Some people have said that Greg Bedard bears a striking resemblance to the
Bob's Big Boy.
Bob's Big Boy, former drive-in diner, chain restaurant.
Yeah, I think Greg wore like a red and white shirt one week, and we said that he looked like Bob's Big Boy.
He does look like Bob's Big Boy.
Greg's
got
the pillow behind him, too.
He has a Big Boy pillow behind him. Maz likes the plushies. He also has a little sun plushie for Paul Prill from sunshine.com.
Correct, yep.
Well, I showed you this earlier. You know what arrived in the mail today?
Yes, indeed.
So take a look at this.
The Bob Soucy doll.
We've got a Soucy doll. It's the heat miser. Hold on.
Throwing heat on Friday with Soucy. He's about Soucy's size too, actually.
So we needed something for Soucy, and we thought Heat Miser, and they do actually have Heat Miser, the old...
Mr. Heat Miser.
Exactly. Yeah. So that we've now got the...
I'm Mr. Sun. I'm Mr. Green Christmas. I'm Mr. 101.
So Bedard had nothing to do with you, but we just thought I'd do it there because we do have a new plushie. Yeah, okay. Greg, thanks for taking the time. We appreciate it, big boy.
See you guys.
Okay, see you next time. Coming up, more football. I want to hit on a runaway freight train of hype that not even I could see coming. I said, do you remember last week we were talking about, boy, if the Patriots show well on Sunday night, they go out to Seattle and win, you watch out for the hype train on Bill Belichick and Cam Newton. Well, they go out there and lose, and the hype train is beyond what I could have possibly imagined. And it now feels like a consensus opinion that the Patriots are better off without Tom Brady, that you'd rather have Cam Newton than Tom Brady. I say, boy, that was quick. Let's address this whole thing after Murray's 90-second update, no commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.